Welcome to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
A new poll shows that 45% of Americans think that President Obama will beat any Republican opponent to win re-election, while the other 55% are Republican candidates.
Well, there's a little chuckle. Seth Meyers on SNL commenting on the growing number of Republican presidential candidates. Well, you know that Mike Huckabee is not one of them, and that's where we get started in this hour of the Talk Radio Countdown Show as we begin a new week of information about what you're talking about, what you're listening to, and what you're watching. It's all about talk radio and talk television. And yes, as the field of GOP hopefuls goes out, it shrinks. It's up, it's down. Huckabee, Mike says that he will not run. Here he is on his program this weekend.
All the factors say go, but my heart says no. My answer is clear and firm. I will not seek the Republican nomination for president this year.
I thought that was kind of a ho-hummer. I've always thought he was kind of a ho-hummer and didn't have much of a chance after that information leaked about him. Well, it didn't leak. It was a very controversial circumstance last year where you'll remember the fellow getting out of jail and how Huckabee played into all of that. And those who would run against him, even in his own party, would use that and drum him with it. So why put yourself through it? He's making more money now, over $1 million a year working in various media outlets. So why mess around with the other stuff, right? That the way it, well, let's listen to Chris Wallace talking to Huckabee about the decision.
You had a good chance to win the Republican nomination. The fact is you've done nothing to promote your candidacy, and you were either first or second in all the polls. Didn't you want to be president?
Absolutely, Chris, and I think that I would have made a fine president. But it really came down for me to a very personal, a very intimate, and as I explained in the announcement, a spiritual decision. You know, you look at all the political possibilities, and frankly, I don't know that I'll ever have a better chance, so I don't rule anything out for the long-term future. But I just somehow believed deep within me that it wasn't the right time and it wasn't to be. And whether it was a lack of sort of detailed preparation, it's not going to happen this time.
I'm a little curious when you say spiritual decision. I mean, is it, and I know you're a man of great faith, but are you saying that you didn't have the fire in your belly to go this time?
Well, I think sometimes people mistake fire in the belly for having had too much pepperoni pizza the night before. They make a great speech and people come up to them and tell them, you could be president. And the next thing you know, they're running, not because they really ought to or have any shot at doing it, but because they have a handful of people to tell them they're looking at the next president. For me, it was a little more introspective than that. You know, sometimes people ask me, does God speak to me in an audible voice? And the truth is, no, it's a lot louder than that. But I do believe that for those of us who are believers, there is a sense of peace. And I'll put it this way, Chris. Last night, I've laid my head on the pillow and had a very good night's sleep. And I was at peace with the decision and am today.
Will you endorse a candidate for president?
Not immediately. Frankly, my feelings and my whole emotions are still a little raw from the process, because up until just a few days ago, Chris, I honestly thought I would be in it. And more the signs were pointing that way. The objections were moved out of the way, and I could see a pathway to getting the money that I'd never thought perhaps I could. And, you know, things began to unfold. But it was almost as if the more that all of the external things began to materialize, the less the internal things began to crystallize for me. So I need to kind of process my own feelings. There's some great candidates. Most of them are very dear friends of mine. That would have made it a little difficult in the primary, because I would have found it hard to challenge some of them in some maybe significant way personally. There may be a point at which I endorse, but right now I'll see how the race unfolds and listen carefully to how they develop their message.
All right, so what's the story with you? Do you think Huckabee can endorse someone and have any power or strength? Yeah, there are a lot of people who follow him and what he has to say. As a matter of fact, on the radio as well as on the television, a lot of you listen to the Huckabee Report on stations around the country, and that doesn't have to stop. If he had said, I will run, then that would have had to go away. He's an ordained Baptist minister, as many of you know. Ran on the ticket in 2008, trying to get in. He's been on the Fox News Channel for the weekends. I think mostly it's on Saturday night. But under the circumstances, he says he likes his radio gig. Do you like listening to him? Do you think he has something going for him? And are you surprised he's passed on the 2012 primary? 800-510-8255. Who on the radio would you like to see running for president? How would Dennis Miller be as a presidential candidate? Or Stephanie Miller as a president? Just for the fun of it, it might be interesting to think, pick your brains, just go through the motions of all the people who are on the radio doing political talk on either side. Any of them make good candidates? It was, people think of Huckabee as more a TV person, but he does this daily commentary. He doesn't do a real talk program, per se, but he has people. I mean, when I say real, that's probably not a good... Let's reverse the tape, erase that. He does real radio. It's not two-way radio. It's not conversation radio. A lot of the things that we talk about here might have to do with things that he would talk about on his radio program. So, but I think it's an interest. A lot of people think Rush Limbaugh, wow, wouldn't it be great if he was president, or Sean Hannity, who I think deep down has some political aspirations someday. What about others? You know, there have been a lot of people who have been on the radio who have run for political office. I think Mike Pence is one of them. There are some who have done okay doing talk. Others, J.D. Hayworth in Arizona, was in Congress, football player, was on the radio, pretty successful there, ran for the Senate against John McCain, pretty unsuccessful there, and made himself a lot of enemies. That's what happens when you do that sort of thing. So if there's anybody who's in a particular, I know up in Seattle, Dave Ross, thank you, Richie. Yeah, Dave Ross ran, came in, he was a close second, but he didn't win. But I know a lot of guys who have been in this business, and women, not so much, but Michelle Bachman was on the radio for some reason, and I don't remember why. Anyway, who's on the radio that would make a good candidate? You want to throw that into the mix? 800-510-8255. We have more Ron Paul, in fact, next in the focus as a potential GOP candidate as that list goes up and down and sideways here on the Talk Radio Countdown.
Our day starts very early at the USO. We support the troops at more than 130 centers in airports and other locations around the world. We have regularly scheduled deployments that come through, but things rarely run on schedule, so we have a lot of surprises. We have birthdays, we have family reunions, we even had a wedding here once. But whatever comes up, travel arrangements, emails back home, or just a place to relax for a while, we'll do our very best to see they get what they need. It's the least we can do, considering what they do for us. If you want to make a difference in the life of someone serving our country, if you really want to make a difference, the USO is how it's done. Help us help them. The USO depends on the generosity of the American people. People just like you. To find out how you can help, visit us at USO.org. The USO. Until everyone comes home.
If you didn't know AutoTrader.com has new cars, well, I'm here inside the body of a new car shopper to enlighten you. First stop, his heart. Oh, this guy loves fresh from the showroom SUVs with Wi-Fi. Now let's go up and see what his head's thinking. See, at AutoTrader.com, you can compare brand spanking new cars and special offers. Deals everywhere. Think he's picked one? Bingo! Find the new car your head and heart can agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Could switching to Geico really save you 15% or more on car insurance? If a tree falls in the forest and no one is around, does it make a noise?
Yep. Be like the 4 million who switched to Geico last year, and you too could start saving money. For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Protection against web-based threats like malware and phishing has become a serious challenge for companies with distributed workforces. Barracuda Networks, the world leader in content security, application delivery, and data protection with more than 130,000 customers worldwide, can help. Web Security Flex combines physical and virtual gateways with cloud services to protect both on-site and remote users from a single portal. Stop web threats. Visit Barracuda.com/Flex to try Barracuda Web Security Flex free for 30 days. That's Barracuda.com/Flex.
Data processing services owner Andrew Sensenig.
I keep one eye on growth and the other on my checkbook. Hey, that's why I look to Sam's Club.
Selection, quality, low prices. It's how Sam's Club makes savings simple and helps grow your bottom line. Last year, members saved an average of 44% versus retail superstores on office supplies alone.
See the savings for yourself. I did.
Join during National Small Business Week, May 16th through 28th, and get a 10-week membership for just $10. Sam's Club. Savings made simple.
800-510-8255 on the countdown. Chad in Seattle, Washington, listening to the countdown. So who might be your candidate if you were picking from radio folks or hosts of programs?
I'd say Tom Hartman, left of center, more of a progressive candidate. I think a lot of the Republican ideas out there are wise. Tax cuts on the rich only make Republican jobs go overseas, or only make jobs go overseas otherwise. Where was the economy in the early 2000s? Why did Bush's tax cuts work? Why did the economy tank? It's a lie.
All right. Tom Hartman is his candidate. Who is yours? 800-510-8255. Share that with us as we go back to Chris Wallace, who this time talks to Congressman Ron Paul.
You're being taken, I think it's fair to say, more seriously by the media this time, frankly, including me, because your issues, limiting the size and scope of government, adhering to constitutional principles, are center stage for the Republican Party this time around. But do you really believe that you're equipped and ready to be president? And if you were elected, what's the first thing you'd do?
I would say nobody's perfect. I don't know all the answers. I don't want to run people's lives and run the world and run the economy, so my qualifications are a little bit different. But compared to others, I would say I'm pretty well equipped, and I've had a fair amount of experience. I've been in the military. I was in the military 5 years. That gives me a little bit of experience. So I would say I'm pretty well equipped. But to brag that I can run things, I don't do that, because that's not what a president is supposed to do. A president is supposed to guarantee and work for the protection of liberty and allow people to take care of their problems.
All right, let's talk about that, because this gets right to the heart of your view about the role, but also the limits of government. The flooding of the Mississippi has caused terrible destruction in the heartland of America. But you said the other day that the government should play no role in bailing out people who live in hurricane zones or flood zones.
If it's too dangerous, why dump the responsibility on the taxpayer? You know, it doesn't make economic sense. It doesn't make good moral sense. It doesn't make constitutional sense.
Question. President Paul would tell those folks, you're on your own?
Well, you can't change the law overnight. The president isn't a dictator, but you would work for certain goals. The principle of ultimate insurance by government is a moral hazard, because people do things they shouldn't do. But I have opposed flood insurance ever since I've been in Congress for 30 years, since 1976. And I have a coastal district, so I don't support FEMA. I get a lot more complaints about FEMA than I get support. Of course, if it's a program, you know, there's a lot of programs I would do away with. But in the meantime, I'd work to manage them responsibly. Matter of fact, I've introduced legislation that would make Social Security more an insurance program, make it responsible, even though those things aren't technically proper. So, no, FEMA is a problem. You brought up the subject, you know, of the Mississippi. FEMA is more or less in charge. But their decision now, because of government levies, because of the flood, and no natural result in taking care of this flood, they have a decision to make. Okay, down to Mississippi and flood this city, or down here and flood some innocent farmers. I mean, this is the kind of dilemma that wouldn't happen in a society that didn't expect the government to solve our problems. But to expect the government and people who aren't benefiting to pay for me to live on the beach and get my house blown down, that's not morally correct. It's not in the Constitution that that's what we're supposed to be doing.
Nine years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
Do you want to learn more about preparing for the hard times ahead? Have you ever thought about actually getting off the grid and becoming truly self-reliant? Introducing Off the Grid News, a weekly newsletter for independent Americans who want practical advice on how to survive and even prosper in an increasingly dangerous world. It's the best way to get a black belt in emergency preparedness, survival skills, and off-the-grid living. Packed with hard-hitting information on gardening, food preparation, alternative energy, and home security, there's simply nothing like it. And the best part, this $100 annual subscription is now free of charge. Simply sign up today and you'll also get our hard-hitting report, Food Shock, Why 2011 Could Be the Single Most Important Year in American History to Plant a Family Garden. It's absolutely free for listeners who sign up at offthegridnews.net. That's offthegridnews.net. Get your free Food Shock right now at offthegridnews.net.
Terms of use.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
800-510-8255, the Talk Radio Countdown Show on the air, reviewing what's being talked about this past weekend. A lot of the presidential hopefuls either were on talk radio and talk television, excuse me, or they were the subject matter. And I just thought I'd throw one more wrinkle into it. And the wrinkle is listening to the radio, if you're a big fan of any talk hosts, which one would make a good presidential candidate? Don in Mesa, Arizona, what's your thought on that?
Hello there, Mr. Steffens.
Hi.
Yeah, I'm a real talk show fan. I listen to all of them, and you too.
Thank you.
I was thinking Michael W. Savage with his borders, language, and culture philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'd be a great one. And then Mark Levin, the great one, with his book, what is it, Tyrants and Tyranny?
Yeah, so
like
how would two, and I'm saying this not to be facetious, both of them Jewish, how would the, is there room, or is America ready, as some have said, we weren't ready, some thought, for a black president.
Are we ready for
a Jewish president and vice president? Joe Lieberman ran with Al Gore. Said it didn't make any difference. So with you, it's okay.
Yeah, I had... hadn't even considered that part. I didn't even realize they were Jewish.
Michael Weiner, his real name is Michael Weiner.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't
right.
know that.
And Michael W., the W., his real name is Michael Weiner. He uses Savage.
Michael Weiner. What's that? The daytime talk show host in the afternoon, Michael Medved.
He's
Jewish, too. Is he Jewish also?
Yeah, he is. Yep.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All three of them are great. I like Rush, too, but... everybody seems to look over, especially Mark Levin. I think he's got everybody beat, hands down.
Do you?
He could really take it to the Democrats. I'm sure he could, you know.
All right, okay.
I really enjoy his fire.
Right, all right, got it. So we have one side, the other side represented. That's the best thing about doing this program. Get both sides in. Got Hartman on the left and Savage and maybe Levin on the right. Just a conversational force here. Ron Paul. How about Ron Paul and his son? Ron Paul runs for president. Rand runs for vice president. Kind of a ticket would that make? 800-510-8255. David Gregory talked to Newt Gingrich about the debate over raising the debt ceiling.
Let's go through the issues that are going to be big in the campaign, and I want to start with the debt. The big fight right now is whether to raise the debt ceiling. The president says you got to do it. The Treasury Secretary says if you don't do it, we have a double dip recession. Republicans say, no, not so fast, not unless we get specific cuts in our government spending to cut the deficit before we raise the balance on America's credit card. You've been through this kind of fight before that goes to the Met. Shutdown of the government in the 90s that didn't turn out well politically for Republicans. And you wrote in your book, Lessons Learned the Hard Way, the following about these moments. I was to learn something about the American people, you wrote, that too many conservatives don't appreciate. They want their leaders to have principled disagreements, but they want these disagreements to be settled in constructive ways. That is not, of course, what our own activists were telling us. They were all gung-ho for a brutal fight over spending and taxes. We mistook their enthusiasm for the views of the American public. Given what you learned, would you tell members of your party now, don't go to the mat on the debt ceiling, increase the debt ceiling, and fight about the budget separately?
No, what I tell them is that I think Speaker John Boehner has come up with a very good formula. It's like a rheostat. It's not on-off. It's not yes-no. It is, Mr. President, how many spending cuts are you willing to accept? We'll give you the same dollar value of debt ceiling increase that you'll give us in spending cuts. So if you only want $500 billion over the next 5 years in spending cuts, fine. Here's a $500 billion increase in the debt ceiling. And by the way, you'll be back by the end of the year for another debt ceiling. But I think the president's also got to be held to an accountability for flexibility. If the debt ceiling matters that much, what is he willing to be flexible on? You take just one item, which Congressman Paul Ryan has proposed and most governors agree with. If you were to block grant Medicaid, that one step is probably worth $1 trillion, $700 billion to the federal government, about $200 to $300 billion to the state government. So as a taxpayer, paying both federal and state taxes, that's $1 trillion less in debt over the next decade.
Newt Gingrich, and whether he ought to run or not, part of the focus here as we continue straight ahead on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
Do you crave eggs? I do. Eggs are an incredible way to start your day. You've always heard that breakfast is the most important meal of the day, right? But a breakfast that contains eggs helps you stay full longer and keeps you energized throughout the day. And here's why. Eggs are a good source of all-natural, high-quality protein. Just one egg has lots of essential vitamins and minerals in varying amounts for just 70 calories. And an average of just 15 cents apiece, eggs are one of the most affordable sources of high-quality protein, and they deliver a big nutrient bang for your buck. From America to Asia, eggs are celebrated around the world for their versatility, affordability, and nutrient density. Take a trip around the world without even leaving your kitchen by visiting the recipes section of IncredibleEgg.org, home of the incredible edible egg.
What's the number one fruit recommended to parents as the best first food for baby? Pediatricians and authors Dr. Jim and Bill Sears say it's the nutrient-dense California avocado. The doctors have teamed up with the California Avocado Commission to give advice on incorporating the fruit into children's diets.
Avocados are great for growing kids. A one-ounce serving of avocado contains 3.5 grams of unsaturated fat, which are important for normal growth and development of the central nervous system and brain.
California avocados are, in our opinion, an ideal food for babies. It has a smooth, creamy consistency, which is great for babies. And ripe avocados can be served without any cooking.
Until Father's Day, parents have a chance to win a total of $10,000 in prizes from the Avo Baby Scholarship Contest. Just upload photos of your baby enjoying avocados to the California Avocados Facebook page. For meal ideas and more, visit californiaavocado.com/avo-babies. I'm John Gridden.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Ready to save? Then you're ready for the Super Summer Sale at Herbal Healer Academy. Herbal Healer has been the leader in quality natural supplements for 23 years. Log on to HerbalHealer.com and take advantage of Herbal Healer Academy's incredible savings on 500 parts per million colloidal silver, the best pharmaceutical grade available, and all sizes on sale. Super Male Plex with Uhimbe and Super Femplex for summer toning. Buy glucosamine chondroitin 60 caps, summer sale priced at only $12. Colon Enhancer 250 caps, summer sale priced at just $18. And if your brain's a little foggy, we have a great supplement on sale called Memory Power. Log on and hit the postcard specials link for more super summer savings at HerbalHealer.com. As always, new customers get a free catalog with first order. Herbal Healer Academy, healing the world with nature one person at a time.
Love gardening but don't love seeing your hard work destroyed by wildlife? Then use the number one most effective deer and rabbit repellent you can buy, PlantSkid. PlantSkid repellent protects gardens, trees, and landscaping by emitting an odor that browsing animals associate with predators. So animals avoid plants before they nibble, not after. PlantSkid is made in the U.S. from non-toxic, 100% organic, environment, and pet-friendly ingredients. Other repellents wash off in the rain. Not PlantSkid. It's guaranteed to outlast all other repellents. PlantSkid was the first animal repellent to be OMRI listed organic and now comes in liquid spray, powder concentrate, or easy-to-use granular. Just sprinkle around your garden. For proven protection from deer, rabbits, squirrels, and other small rodents, use PlantSkid. Member tested and recommended by the National Home Gardening Club. Find a dealer near you at PlantSkid.com. That's PlantSkydd.com. Ask about our new vole repellent when you call 800-252-6051. That's 800-252-6051. PlantSkid. Proven plant protection. Guaranteed. Or your money back.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
800-510-8255. Follow us at DougStephan.com with more details on some of these stories. We have 60 Minutes and the other Sunday morning shows, Sunday evening shows, and things about the presidential contenders or would-be, those who would be president. Later on in this half hour, Robert Gates and the latest on the bin Laden situation. I don't know what the latest is, about a lot of discussion about the SEAL team, interestingly enough, after the fact. Right now, though, we're focused on who ought to run, and I just threw out for your consideration a discussion suggestion as to who you listen to on the radio, whether or not they would make good candidates, or who would make, maybe just in general, who would make a good candidate, I mean, realistic candidate. Some of the talk show hosts, not necessarily realistic, but realistically speaking, who makes a very good, superb, if you will, candidate. I find the idea of Ron Paul running intriguing for a lot of reasons, mostly because I agree with a lot of what he says, but secondly because he's such a contrast to Mr. Obama. And isn't that really what the election ought to be, a contrast, a really? I mean, times when there have been wishy-washy candidates, I'm thinking of John Kerry running against George Bush, too lousy. We've had so many lousy candidates, really lousy candidates, and they don't really distinguish themselves well. It becomes a mud battle. But with Rand and Ron Paul, both of them really distinguish themselves in ideas, and they're not mudslingers either. I don't who wants that? Who needs it? You want to have the issues discussed. Paul is in Tampa Bay. Hi, Paul. Welcome to the countdown.
Hey, Doug. Although the name might make some people cringe, if people would have started listening to Ross Perot years ago when he put up those charts on our debt and NAFTA, we'd be better off if we'd have taken some of his suggestions, if not elected him president.
Well, he would have been. I voted for him. It sounds like you voted for him. But his ego got in the way of his reality and his ability.
Well, he wasn't a politician, so I imagine he wasn't used to having
and so,
all that.
And that's another one of these things that people ought to consider. That's a great point, Paul. The fact that he wasn't a politician, that's one of the reasons Donald Trump has some appeal to a lot of folks and others who would be in the race. We're just really, I think, collectively awfully tired of politicians. And these people say, well, what experience they have. What the heck experience did Obama have? He didn't have any real life experiences. He had a lot of political and working in the system experience, but as we've seen, the system isn't our friend. It's not your friend, and it's not my friend.
I know this sounds a little crazy, but I'll tell you, I think we'd almost be better off, like they pick jurors, to pick politicians and serve 4 years and then get back to their life instead of having all these career politicians.
You may or may not have heard my theory on this. I believe that we ought to have a constitutional convention, get 34 states to pass as part of the Constitution, no more than one term for any of these offices, 6 years. 6 years as a congressman, you can't run again. 6 years as a senator, can't run again. 6 years
excellent
as president,
idea.
Can't run again. 6 years as governor, you can run for different offices, but you can't run for the same office. End of story. That gets rid of campaign campaign finance contributions and how they have vagarized the system. Because you can't, okay, you're going to give a campaign contribution to a guy who you're not sure what's going to happen in 6 years. It makes so much sense. But enough people have to be really angry. There are a lot of people who are angry and they don't understand the system because part of the system is working out of the system. Your understanding of how the system works, i.e., what other cynical reason is there for cutting out civics courses in school? That's the cynical reason for doing it, because the people who are in charge don't want you to know how the system works.
Well, let me ask you, if I can make one more thing that's a little off, but why is it that we cannot have, like, live webcams? Anytime a lobbyist says anything to a senator or a representative, have it on live webcam to where everybody can see it. Because the Republicans said that's the reason they don't want public unions, is because the people aren't represented. Mm-hmm. Well, why can't the people be represented with a live webcam every time a lobbyist wants to say a word to a congressman?
The technology is certainly there to do it. Might be a
sure
little
is.
Loud. You may have heard me talking about being before Congress, and not come before Congress, but I went to I'm a member of the National Farmers Union and went to Washington in that capacity last month and talked to 8 or 10 congressmen from the New England area about issues that affect farmers. And I was walking through, I'm not a paid lobbyist, I'm an interested party, and those are the people that ought to be getting congressmen's ear. But walking through the halls of Congress in these office buildings and watching as the lines outside with all these guys, you know exactly why they're there. They're there to lobby congressmen. They have, you know, all the traveling they have. They're out there with their Blackberries and their droids and their iPods talking to this one and that one. Okay, how do we get to this person? How do we influence that person? And it's just plain wrong. You and I should be.
It takes away the fairness of it.
The lobbyists.
There's no balance.
Right. It's not fair or balanced. All right, Paul. Good call. Thank you. 800-510-8255. Okay, back to the Sunday morning programs. Christiane Amanpour spoke to her panel on ABC about, I think it's George Will, Cokie Roberts, Amy Walter, about the field of GOP candidates.
Generally, we hear that in the Republican Party, there is sort of a pecking order, and it's sort of viewed as so-and-so's time next. Do you think that that will be the case
this time? No, this is the most open scramble on the Republican side since 1940, Wendell Willkie came out of the woodwork and swept the field. I think people are complaining that this is not off to a brisk start. I think that's wrong. I think we know with reasonable certainty that standing up there on the west front of the Capitol on January 20th, 2013, will be one of three people: Obama, Polenti, and Daniels. I think that's it.
But we do have to remember too that we're talking about Mitt Romney in a vacuum right now without other candidates around him. So we can put the spotlight on him, right. But we also have to put him in context, which is those other candidates and all their baggage. And we'll get to that.
Let's talk about Daniels, because you heard Nikki Haley. She couldn't say enough about him. Many people are urging him to jump in.
Who else is urging him to jump in?
He is. Mitch Daniels is a very appealing guy. He was in Washington for years, which probably will work against him, but it was something so that we all know him, and that sort of helps at this stage of a presidential wannabe. He's from a state that matters, and much more quietly than other governors. He has done the things that are going on in Wisconsin in terms of the public unions. He has just signed a bill that's cut off aid to Planned Parenthood in the state, so that even though he said he didn't want to put social issues front and center, the truth is he's more out there on that issue in terms of actual policy than anybody else.
The idea that he's the Hamlet of Indianapolis is absurd.
No.
He's taking his time, and he knows that given the new fundraising realities, you can take your time. He was in Washington recently, and someone said, "Do you want to run for president?" He says, "No sane person wants to run for president." Well, this is Broder's Law. The late David Broder said, "Anyone who will do what you have to do to become president shouldn't be allowed to be president."
Well, no sane person, maybe, but also nobody whose wife is so opposed to it. I mean, it's been written about all week, hasn't it, in all these different newspapers about how much of a non-political spouse is Sherry Daniels.
Right, and Haley Barbour had the same issue too, which is when you've been in this context, they've both been at the NFL level, they know what it takes to play at that level, and they know the consequences for their family. There's no naivete there. So I think that is a really serious and true concern of his and his family.
I think that's a pretty interesting, that was a discussion that was pretty right on, wasn't it? A spot on, as they say. The folks from ABC talking about the wives, the families, that sort of thing. Okay, so we've heard a discussion of about Newt Gingrich and Ron Paul and Mike Huckabee. So here's Candy Crowley talking on CNN to Joe Lockhart and Michael Gerson about Mitt Romney.
I want to read something the Wall Street Journal wrote. Now, he gave a big speech this week about why Romney care in Massachusetts is different from Obamacare for the nation. But right before he gave it, here's what the Wall Street Journal wrote. The debate over Obamacare and the larger entitlement state may be the central question of the 2012 election. On that question, Mr. Romney is compromised and not credible. If he does not change his message, he might as well try to knock off Joe Biden and get on the Obama ticket.
Pretty tough.
Yeah, Wall Street Journal. This is not good news for Romney. They then, after his speech, said, no, it didn't really, satisfy us. And so there's a back and forth, as you might imagine, between Romney and the Wall Street Journal. But is he may well be electable, but let's start, is he nominatable?
Well, he already has met his quota of flip-flops in the past. He couldn't do it again on health reform, his reform in Massachusetts. And he really believes that the individual mandate's important. But for conservatives in the party, the individual mandate is the red line. I think he's going to have a really tough time with the nomination in that context. It makes him a very fragile frontrunner in New Hampshire.
And do you agree? I mean,
sure. I mean, the essential problem for Republicans is to win a national election, you've got to have someone who's somewhere near the middle. But the electorate that will nominate a candidate, caucus goers in Iowa, a small number in New Hampshire, down and around the country, are very conservative and not necessarily in the same place as where a majority can come from. So it's an essential. The Democrats have faced problems in the past like that, where the liberal wing nominated, if you look at the 60s and 70s. This is a big fundamental problem for Republicans. And there's nothing about this race so far that indicates that they're going to work through this in a way where they can nominate someone who can fight for the center.
All right, enough on the presidential candidates. The SEAL team and the focus on them and getting bin Laden. That's up next on the countdown.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Jason from Buffalo writes, I have a habit of hitting snooze and not being able to get up again. Any suggestions?
You know, if you get Geico to help with your renter's insurance, it's quite easy, really. You'll know you're protecting your stuff for as little as $12 a month, which I suspect will make you sleep much sounder. Then you'll just pop out of bed rested, ready to start your day.
What he's saying is, a renter's policy is basically insurance for your snooze button.
Plus most everything else you own.
Visit Geico.com to see how affordable renter's insurance can be.
Guys, remember when you were 18 with boundless energy and the stamina to do anything, anytime? Wish you could have the testosterone of your teenage years with the experience and skill you have today? Now you can with Progene Daily Complex. Progene is an all-natural herbal supplement that helps men naturally produce more testosterone. Right now, you too can try a free month's Progene supply absolutely free. 800-690-9738. Supplies are limited. 800-690-9738. 800-690-9738. Shipping and processing fees apply.
Men and women, do you look in the mirror and see dark circles under your eyes? Or do you have bags? Are your eyes puffy? Do you look tired all the time? Now, there's a fix for that, a cream that can help you instantly. You get it free by calling 800-894-3302. It's called Lumitone. Rub a dab of Lumitone around your eyes, and it will reduce the look of dark circles instantly. It's amazing. You look bright and refreshed in just seconds. Doesn't stop there. Lumitone has a special ingredient that eases the appearance of your puffiness and bags. Tested and approved, this stuff works. You can get started by calling 800-894-3302. Get a free bottle. You pay a small shipping and handling fee. That's it. 800-894-3302. Lumitone. Get rid of all those bags and the sad look under your eye. 800-894-3302. Ask for Lumitone.
The greatest speeches.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Of all time.
Because this is the party of Lincoln and Reagan.
On The Conservative Voice.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The Conservative Voice, a two-disc DVD or CD containing some of the most powerful speeches ever. Featured are Ronald Reagan.
Our government is too big.
Sarah Palin.
Let's drill, baby, drill, not stall, baby, stall.
George W. Bush.
I can hear you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Highlights of speeches from some of the most legendary figures in American political history can be yours now. Here's how to order.
To order, go to www.conservativevoice.us/Doug. That's conservativevoice.us/Doug. conservativevoice.us/Doug.
The thing about hemorrhoids is they don't just bother you at home. On a plane, the pain can be nonstop to Seattle. On a train, you can have a little burning back there in your own caboose. But now, just carry new Preparation H Totables. Discreet little tubes of pain relief cream, burning relief gel, or irritation relief wipes. For the big relief you count on from Preparation H, the brand doctors recommend most by name among leading brands. New Preparation H Totables. Be anywhere Preparation H. Use as directed.
800-510-8255. Okay, so we're on to the SEAL team, the capturing of bin Laden. Here from CNN, Barbara Starr reports on the news that this SEAL team was prepared to fight their way back if they had to.
As President Obama tensely monitored the Navy SEALs' lightning assault on Osama bin Laden's compound, there was another secret plan in place. What to do if it all started to go wrong? A possibility the president told CBS's 60 Minutes was on his mind.
My biggest concern was, if I'm sending those guys in and Murphy's Law applies and something happens, can we still get our guys out?
U.S. officials tell CNN there were plans in place to send in more troops, weapons, and air power if the SEALs were confronted with overwhelming opposition from either inside the compound or Pakistani forces responding to the mini-American invasion. CNN has learned during the 38-minute raid, some commandos positioned themselves outside the compound walls to keep Pakistanis away. Administration sources say the SEALs were prepared to defend themselves and their mission. That could have meant shooting Pakistani forces if necessary. Top U.S. officials gathered at the White House were prepared to call their Pakistani counterparts to intercede if a firefight broke out. It never came to that.
This was a complete surprise to them. And in circumstances of surprise, people take a little while to get themselves organized.
There may be more to it. Pentagon and CIA officials will not comment on any effort to monitor and disrupt Pakistani military communications and radar, rendering this ally blind.
I would have to just guess that in addition to whatever steps we took to suppress Pakistani knowledge of this, that they simply couldn't get themselves organized in time to respond in an effective way.
There was a major glitch when one helicopter landed on the compound wall. One of the backup helicopters was called in. It was the helicopter actually carrying an emergency medical team had the SEALs been wounded. And what was the plan if Osama bin Laden had surrendered to the Navy SEALs? They were going to take him to the aircraft carrier USS Carl Vinson in the North Arabian Sea off the coast of Pakistan and begin interrogating him immediately. But of course, bin Laden was dead, and they took his body to the Carl Vinson to bury him at sea.
All right, so that's that piece of the pie. Coming up, Defense Secretary Gates talks about the operation. That's up next with your thoughts, of course, at 800-510-8255. On the Talk Radio Countdown Show, I'm Doug Steffen.
If you suffer from poor sleep, you need My Pillow, guaranteed to be the most comfortable pillow you will ever own. Using a patented fill, My Pillow adjusts to your exact individual needs by gently supporting your head, shoulders, and neck. My Pillow has a natural built-in cooling effect, keeping your cervical nerves cool, giving you the best sleep of your life. My Pillow will never go flat and relieves snoring, migraines, sleep apnea, fibromyalgia, and many other disorders. It's antimicrobial, non-allergenic, dust mite resistant, and best of all, machine washable and dryable. My Pillow is made in the USA, has an A rating with the Better Business Bureau, comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and an industry-leading 10-year warranty. Order today at MyPillow.com or call 952-442-6199. That's 952-442-6199. Mention coupon code GCN and receive 20% off your order. What do you have to lose except poor sleep? MyPillow.com, the most comfortable pillow you will ever own, guaranteed.
Our big story, food prices rise with gas prices. Economists expect food price hikes of 3 to 4% this year. From lettuce to tomatoes, virtually all fresh produce has doubled in price. In the past year, corn prices up 87%, soybeans up 41%, and wheat has climbed 54%. Demand for seed is extremely high. Stock up today while supplies last.
Yes, there is a threat of seed shortages due to climatic weather events. Be prepared. Save money. Eat healthy with SeedsNow.com. For a limited time, SeedsNow.com is offering a survival garden seed vault stocked with over 60,000 high-quality heirloom seeds, over 50 popular varieties. All SeedsNow.com seeds are grown in the USA, 100% heirloom, 100% non-hybrid, 100% non-GMO. Order now at SeedsNow.com or by phone at 818-584-1488. That's 818-584-1488. Remember, SeedsNow.com. Your number one online source for quality garden seeds.
Discount could save you.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
800-510-8255. We're talking about the Navy SEALs, the mission to get bin Laden, and the pros and cons. I suppose everybody thinks it was a pretty good idea. Radio host Dave Serrata talks to Stephen Gray, who is connected to PBS's Frontline. They did a documentary on the Navy SEALs and the mission to get bin Laden.
Kill and or capture. There's been a question about whether the Navy SEALs who were ordered into bin Laden's compound, whether they were given a kill-only order. There's been a lot of swirling allegations. Was bin Laden, were they going to capture him if they could have? You look at this question not just in the bin Laden situation, but the larger question in all of Afghanistan and what we're doing over in Afghanistan. Tell us what you found in your reporting on that question.
Well, this organization which did the bin Laden attack, the killing, is the Joint Special Operations Command. And it has grown to an extraordinary extent to which it has become the leader of one of the key parts of the war, and a war that has – part of the war does not receive much attention because it's so secretive. So whereas that was one operation in Pakistan, they have done thousands, I think 12,000 operations in the last year – which by special forces and JSOC within that, they've increased their operations enormously. JSOC's increased by six times the number of operations. And these are a mixture of operations where they simply capture someone. They do their main tactic, their signature tactic is, just like in Pakistan with bin Laden, arriving in the dead of night, dropping down with helicopters and going after people. They will arrest them if they can, but very often, they are killed. And they also do drone strikes and airstrikes, which clearly are kill-only options where there is no opportunity for the guys involved to surrender.
So was it really a kill or capture mission? I find that to be one of the most interesting parts of this discussion. What really were they going to do? You heard now twice suggestions that they weren't really there to kill him, that they wanted to capture him. As I said, Defense Secretary Robert Gates had been doing the rounds, talk show rounds. He was on 60 Minutes and discussed his concern over the operation.
I was very concerned, frankly. I had real reservations about the intelligence. My worry was the level of uncertainty about whether bin Laden was even in the compound. Well, there wasn't any direct evidence that he was there. It was all circumstantial. But it was the best information that we had since probably 2001. I think everybody agreed that we needed to act and act pretty promptly.
All right. So CIA, whether they're right or wrong, they certainly have been right, but they've also been wrong. So I understand his reservation. Here he is about the call to get bin Laden.
I've worked for a lot of these guys, and this is one of the most courageous calls, decisions that I think I've ever seen a president make. For all of the concerns that I've just been talking about, the uncertainty of the intelligence, the consequences of it going bad, risk to the lives of the Americans involved, it was a very gutsy call.
Interesting the way he said it. I've worked for a lot of these guys, a lot of presidents. It is very interesting how you get into that circle and you stay there, no matter which party. He's worked for both parties. Good job, apparently, he's done. And thus, he's leaving on his own terms. Here, radio host Heidi Harris speaks with Dick Marchenko, who is the founder of the Navy SEAL Team 6, about what the team did.
I bet you weren't surprised at all that your guys were involved in this.
No, that's what they're trained and paid for, Heidi, you know.
Yeah, it's good stuff. So tell me some things I don't know about what happened. I understand there were about 44 guys involved, right? They went in by helicopter?
Probably 24.
Okay.
But, yeah, I went in by helicopter, and one of the helicopters that went in had a little heavy landing and did a little damage, but nobody was hurt in that, and they had standby helicopters, so one that sure ruined the surprise, but they got over the walls and worked their way through the compound up to the second floor and found the dirty man there and exchanged some rounds, and, of course, that 3x5 card was right in the middle of his forehead, so the guy was off a little bit, got just over his left eye.
Now, were they planning to go in there? They weren't going to take him alive, right? Which I'm glad they didn't, but that wasn't the plan at all. Do we know?
No, as far as I know, it wasn't the plan, and he wouldn't want to bring him out alive because it causes more problems than the success would of killing him, you know?
Absolutely. So now how did they verify it was him? There are reports that his wife called him by name, and that's how they figured out for sure who he was?
Well, there was my understanding that there was visual recognition, and then when they finally got him out, they did a DNA sample.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So we know that there wasn't a double, and you know, it was the real one.
The Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen, giving a tip of the hat to you for sticking with